All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Ballers, welcome to Box Score Breakdown, February 11th, 2020, along with David Bracey. This is Hank Aaron. David, how you doing?
Hank, good to be back, man. How are you?
Doing well. All right, we got a quick five-game slate for this evening, so let's go ahead and jump in. We will start in San Antonio, where the Spurs are still trying to get into the playoffs. And the Thunder are one of the bigger surprises so far this season. But the Spurs did pull off the victory on the road. Important to note that DeMar DeRozan was out tonight with a back injury. And that could become a trickier issue down the line if the Spurs fall out of the playoff race. So keep your eyes on that as the season progresses. Now, as far as tonight's line, LaMarcus Aldridge doing his thing, 9 of 20 from the field, 7 of 8 from the field, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Trey Lyles, 31 minutes for him, 3 of 8 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, but 4 blocks. Deontay Murray, 9 of 12 from the field, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, 1 three-pointer on top of that. Bryn Forbes, 21 minutes for him, 3 of 9 from the field, 2 threes, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Lonnie Walker getting the start in place of DeRozan, 25 minutes for him, 6 points, 3 steals, 4 rebounds. Off the bench, you got Rudy Gay still, not really breaking those minute barriers he's had this year, only 2 of 5 from the field, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Jakob Poeltl, 1 point, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Mr. Patty Mills, 28 minutes for him, 20 points, three threes, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 7 of 13 from the field. And Derek White, 28 minutes, 17 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnovers. Bellinelli, 16 points, 16 minutes, 0 points, 1 rebound, no assists, no steals, no blocks, no turnovers. So with the Spurs, with DeMar DeRozan going out, it does create a little bit of opportunity for some of these other guys. Derek White and Patty Mills kind of capitalized tonight. Derek White has been a decent low-end option so far this season. So with DeRozan out, it looks like, if he's out for anything past the All-Star break, I think White is a guy you got to jump on. Patty Mills probably not going to be this productive on a regular basis. Rudy Gay would theoretically have more opportunity, but it looks like they're not going to let him get in that above that 20 to 25-minute range, which kind of caps his value. And then Trey Lyles has been pretty hot recently, but cooled off tonight. The 4 blocks are an outlier. So unless you're really desperate for a rebounding specialist in a deeper league, Lyles probably not an option for you. Do you see anything else with the Spurs?
No, I think you pretty much covered it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, keep your eye on this DeRozan situation. Could become a bigger deal. And at the same time, if LaMarcus Aldridge goes out, if he gets hurt later on in the season, he may end up missing some games, and that would give potentially Jakob Poeltl a little bit more run, which would make him a standard league guy. All right, what's up with the Thunder?
All right, for the Thunder, who are on the right side of the playoffs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, had 33 minutes tonight for 17 points on 6 of 11 shooting, contributing 2 3-pointers, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal with no turnovers. Really strong line from Shai tonight. Danilo Gallinari in 30 minutes had 15 points on 4 of 16 shooting. Struggled with the shot this evening, adding 2 3-pointers and going 5 of 7 from the free throw line. Gallinari also added 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, no blocks, and only 1 turnover. Steven Adams in 32 minutes in the middle had 10 points on 4 of 9 shooting. Going 2 of 2 from the free throw line, also adding 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, a block, and 4 turnovers. So you definitely love the defensive versatility and stats from Steven Adams tonight. He had been struggling a little bit. There was a lot of rumors about him heading into the trade deadline, but he is still on the Thunder, so we're going to roll with him. Lugans Dort, again, apologies if I'm butchering that name, 21 minutes tonight, 4 points on 2 of 5 shooting. Also adding 2 rebounds, no defensive stats, and no turnovers. Chris Paul, the point guard position, had 33 minutes for 31 points on 12 of 18 shooting, adding 5 3-pointers, going 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Also adding 2 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, a block, and 2 turnovers. And then really, truthfully, off of the bench, the only guy worth discussing would be Dennis Schroeder, who got 31 minutes for 14 points on 5 of 13 shooting, going 3 of 3 from the free throw line. Also adding 3 assists. 2 turnovers, no defensive stats, and no rebounds. As far as the bench is concerned, Noel is a guy who I had been watching, but I mean, on nights like tonight where he only has 8 minutes and does absolutely nothing with him, it's pretty hard to justify him as a standard league guy. Schroeder is the guy who really is only going to be contributing from a points perspective. I think that he can add a decent amount of peripheral stats, but really it's going to be primarily in garbage time when it's a close game. He's really not going to get an extended amount of that run, in my personal opinion. So Chris Paul and Shai are really going to be obviously the guards who are going to dominate the ball and the guys who you really want to own. Any thoughts from you, Hank, as far as the OKC Thunder go?
Yeah, I think Noel's minutes were a little bit lower than normal tonight, and he's somebody that I had and I'd been riding him, and he's been surprisingly providing decent value on the back of, you know, points, or not points, but field goal percentage, steals, blocks, and low turnovers if you're in a 9-cat league. But with the trade deadline going, his upside was kind of is going to be capped as long as Adams is healthy. And I don't know what happened with the minutes tonight. They're lower than normal. But, you know, his floor is very low in his current role, so unless you need a streamer for defensive stats, he's tough to play right now. But if you do need a streamer for those specific categories, he could be used. So There are ways to make Noel useful. Obviously, he's got to get closer to 20 minutes a game rather than 8 that he got tonight. But keep your eye on him if you need field goal percentage, steals, blocks, and a little turnovers. A dash of rebounds, too. All right. Let's go over to the next game. We got the Blazers and Pelicans. This one is a little bit more interesting from a real-life NBA perspective, as they're both chasing the playoffs. Carmelo Anthony, 8 of 16, 18 points, 1 steal, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 0 of 5 from the 3-point line, and 2 turnovers. Trevor Ariza, after a big game, only 3 of 3 with 1 3-pointer, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 1 block, no turnovers. Hassan Whiteside, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 2 turnovers. Damian Lillard, 6 of 16 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 20 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, no steals, no blocks, and 3 turnovers. And CJ McCollum, 20 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound, 4 threes, no steals or blocks. Off the bench, you had Gary Trent Jr., 4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. You had Anthony Simons, 9 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. So, the Blazers are kind of an interesting team because we saw Trevor Ariza had a big game last game. Tonight's line, not nearly as big. However, the field goal percentage was 100%, obviously very low volume at 3 of 3. But he hit a 3. He had 3 steals. He had a block. He had 0 turnovers. So even without really a great line tonight from a scoring perspective, it's still a pretty good line for a 9 category. And we've seen in the past, Trevor Ariza plays, and he doesn't necessarily have a good field goal percentage, but even a low field goal percentage, the fact that he hits threes and racks up steals with low turnovers can be make him a standard league guy. So if you need those categories, steals, threes, low turnovers, he is somebody that you should potentially consider adding. Melo, kind of the opposite. He's going to score and hit threes, but not provide the defensive stats. Obviously, tonight he was 0 for 5, but if you're going to look for a low-end guy for points and threes, you got Melo. If you're looking for a guy, low-end guy for steals, threes, low points, low turnovers, Trevor Ariza is going to do it. Obviously, Whiteside, Lillard, McCollum, we know what's going on with those players. Whiteside, tough to call him a sell high, but again, he's had injury issues in the past, and he's potentially going to have some minute reduction when Nurkic comes back. But unless you're getting really good value, you probably don't want to move him. Off the bench, Trent was a hot add, didn't do much tonight. Simons getting some potential, you know, standard league consideration, but also not much from him. So probably both of these guys not going to be consistent players in a 12-team league this year. So you want to kind of stick to the starting five on this team and then possibly consider Nurkic, although no timetable has been provided and he did get a left calf strain, which may extend his time out. But keep your eye on Nurkic after the break, see what they say. Anything else you see with the Blazers?
No, I think you covered it. Like I said, we'll wait and see with Nurkic and see how his return, if he does return soon, impacts Hassan Whiteside, who's been, I mean, really a draft day steal. I mean, he's been an absolute monster this season.
Yeah, he's been a first-round value, so it doesn't get better than that. And I think anyone who's gotten him is really enjoying the production. All right, what do we got with the Pels?
All right, for the Pels, Derek Favors had 21 minutes tonight at the center position for 6 points on 3 of 4 shooting, also contributing 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, and 2 turnovers. Jrue Holiday at the point guard position had 29 minutes for 16 points on 7-12 shooting. I'm sorry, at the shooting guard position, 16 points on 7-12 shooting, adding a 3-pointer and going 1 of 2 from the free throw line, also adding 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 2 turnovers. So you'll definitely take the 2-2 and 2 from Jrue. Lonzo Ball at the point guard position in 33 minutes at 9 points on 4 of 11 shooting, adding a 3-pointer, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 turnovers, a steal, and a block. Zion Williamson went absolutely crazy in 27 minutes for 31 points on 10 of 17 shooting, going 11 of 14 from the free throw line, also adding 9 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers. And then Josh Hart inserted into the starting lineup for Brandon Ingram, who was out tonight, got 26 minutes for 17 points on 7 of 10 shooting, also adding 2 3-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, no blocks, and no turnovers. Off of the bench, J.J. Redick had the hot hand for 20 points in 20 minutes, going 5 of 10 from the field and adding 4 three-pointers. He also contributed 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a turnover, and no defensive stats. Nicolo Melli in 27 minutes had 10 points on 4 of 10 shooting, also contributing 2 three-pointers, along with 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, no steals, and only 1 turnover. And then Frank Jackson in 22 minutes had 13 points on 4 of 7 shooting, also contributing 3 three-pointers with 2 rebounds, 5 assists, a turnover, and no defensive stats. As I said, Brandon Ingram being out of the lineup definitely was to the benefit of Josh Hart, but Josh Hart is a guy who's been very, very sneakily valuable pretty much all season long, and looks like a guy who the Pelicans are going to rely on consistently, whether he's coming off of the bench or in their starting lineup. Obviously, Hart being in the starting lineup and Ingram being out helped J.J. Redick find his shot and get it going, as he had a big night off of the bench. Jrue Holiday also looked strong tonight after a couple games where production was looking a little bit shaky there, but we know how Jrue is. His play can be pretty sporadic at times. So tonight, again, with B.I. being out of the lineup, I think that that kind of helped Jrue soak up a little bit of that usage there. And then Derek Favors, not the biggest offensive output tonight, but did contribute pretty steadily across the board. So is a guy who, as you said last week, is a solid hold, and is a guy who contributes very sneakily in a lot of leagues. As far as the bench guys go, Redick, Melli, Jackson, and Etuan Moore, none of those are guys who I'm really going out of my way to grab. Redick and Melli may be more viewed as three-point streamers, in my personal opinion. Etuan Moore is really going to be a microwave scorer and not a whole lot else. And then Frank Jackson is pretty far removed from the majority of guards on this Pelicans team. So not a guy who I'm going out of my way for either. Any thoughts from you, Hank, about the Pelicans?
Yeah, I'm with you. Pretty much agree up and down. I think Hart has been a sneaky value guy the whole year, especially with Ingram out. He's probably going to be a little bit more productive. And I think Redick, especially with Ingram out, will be a decent source of threes and points. All right, before we get to the next game, this podcast, like all of our shows at HoopBall, is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Check out their website, HawaiianIsles.com, on Amazon by searching for Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee, or on Twitter, High Kona Coffee, HIKONACOFFEE, High Kona Coffee. My suggestion is always to get the whole beans, get them freshly roasted, get a good grinder for your home, and grind them yourselves and brew your coffee that way. Much fresher, tastes better, and I think the caffeine will give you a better kick. So again, High Kona Coffee on Twitter, Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee if you're looking for it on Amazon, or just go to HawaiianIsles.com, HawaiianIsles.com, Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee. All right, third game of the evening, we had the Bulls visiting the Wizards, and I will take the Wizards side here because I've got a little bit to discuss. So Rui Hachimura, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers. Big game for him. 7 of 12 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Didn't hit a 3, but who cares with all those great supporting stats. Isaac Bonga, 20 minutes for him, 3 of 4 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, a block, and 0 turnovers. 8 points for him total. Ian Mahinmi, still starting, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 turnovers. Ish Smith getting the start with Isaiah Thomas out. 4 of 8 from the field. Hit 2 threes, 10 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers. And Brad Beal, 12 of 23 from the field. 3 threes, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. 30 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, no blocks, and 4 turnovers. Off the bench, Davis Bertans, 4 of 11. 2 threes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Mo Wagner, 5 of 7 from the field, missed his only 3-point shot, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnovers. Troy Brown Jr., only 16 minutes for him, 0 of 5, 2 points, 3 assists, 5 steals, which is pretty good, 0 blocks and a turnover. And then Shabazz Napier, 5 of 7, 3 threes, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, but 5 turnovers hurting his value in 9 category leagues. Now, with the trade deadline gone, I made a trade in my league. I traded Caris LeVert, Reggie Jackson, and PJ Tucker for Al Horford. I did this maybe 2 or 3 days ago, right after LeVert and Jackson both had big games, but before their most recent games where they were poor. And I got Horford, who was doing very poorly, but I'm hoping we'll pick it up. One of the reasons I did the trade was because of Ish Smith. I thought I could add Smith. I was able to get him. What are your thoughts on Ish Smith going forward?
I definitely think Ish Smith is a guy who is sneakily valuable from this perspective of assist streaming. So definitely somebody who I would go and grab if you're a team who is in need of those additional assists, because he could be the guy to really make a difference for you. Because to your point, since Isaiah Thomas is now out of there, they're really going to be relying on him as a primary ball handler outside of Brad Beal, because Napier, I don't think, is a guy who they're going to be in any rush to start. Smith has been around for a while, so he's more of a fixture. So I just see them kind of leaning on him a little bit more heavily.
And they are the number 9 seed in the East. So their record is 19-33, which would make you think that they're, you know, in the mix for worst record. But actually, they're in the 9th seed in the East. So they may make a playoff push, which I think bodes well for Smith playing more and staying on top of Napier. Now, aside from Smith, I think there's a lot of guys on the Wizards that are potentially fantasy guys that are available on your wire, maybe dropped or whatever. But Hachimura, he's back. I think he's a decent 12-team guy. Mo Wagner, he may be a 12-team guy. The thing is, Thomas Bryant is out right now. So it's going to be a little bit more minutes for Hachimura and for Wagner and for Bertans. But once he comes back, the rotation may get a little bit muddled. But I think Smith is kind of clear to go. I mean, Napier is there, but I think Smith is going to be close to 30 minutes a night. And he doesn't score a bunch, but I think the assists are there. The rebounds are good for a point guard. He shoots threes, and he contributes with the defensive stats. So I'm thinking he's a good pickup, and I added him to my team, and I created some space to get him. So let's see what happens with him. All right, what do we see with the Bulls?
All right, on the Chicago side, which is much less interesting from a fantasy perspective and in real life, but we'll give it a go anyways here. Chandler Hutchinson, in 28 minutes, had 9 points on 4 of 12 shooting, adding a three-pointer, 4 rebounds, an assist, a block, no turnovers, and no steals. Thad Young, in 32 minutes, had 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting, also adding 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, an assist, 2 blocks, a steal, and 6 turnovers. So you like the defensive stats from Young. You don't really like the turnovers. Cornette, in the center spot, had 24 minutes for 8 points on 4 of 8 shooting, adding 7 rebounds, no defensive stats, and no turnovers. Thomas Satoransky, in 30 minutes, had 19 points on 7 of 12 shooting, also adding 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 turnovers with no defensive stats. And then Zach LaVine went absolutely bonkers in 36 minutes, had 41 points on 15 of 21 shooting with 71% from the field. I mean, absolutely blistering. Made 8 three-pointers, going 3 or 4 from the free throw line, also adding 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, and 5 turnovers. Off of the bench, Kobe White got 34 minutes for 14 points on 4 of 14 shooting. He added 2 three-pointers with 5 rebounds, 7 assists, a turnover, and 4 steals. Cristiano Felizio, in 22 minutes, had 2 points on 1 of 3 shooting. He also added 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a turnover, and no defensive stats. And then Ryan Arcidiaco had 18 minutes tonight for 5 points on 2 of 5 shooting, also adding a three-pointer, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and 3 turnovers. Of course, Wendell Carter Jr. is out of the lineup right now, so Cornette was starting at the center spot and got more run than he would normally. So did Felicio off of the bench. As far as the Bulls go, it is an absolute mess. We have still not seen Otto Porter, and to be completely honest, I don't know if we ever will end up seeing him. So it looks like Hutchinson and Young are guys who are probably going to continue to get the run that they're seeing for the remainder of the season. Personally, I would probably lean more on Thaddeus Young just because I like his defensive versatility and upside from the perspective of steel streamer more than Hutchinson, who I really think is going to be more points than anything else. But of course, the guy who really is going to have all the value on the Bulls team is going to be Zach LaVine. He is the unquestioned alpha on this team. He's going to get the ball. He's going to chuck shots. And I think this is his fifth or sixth 40-point game this season. So look for that to continue. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. The Bulls are going nowhere in a hurry, but Zach LaVine doesn't seem to mind. Anything from you as far as the Bulls go?
I think you covered it all. I think Coby White is a guy to keep your eye on. They've been playing Satoransky. I don't know if they're going to shift more minutes to White, but White already got 35 minutes tonight. Field goal percentage was poor. His shot goes away from time to time, but when he gets hot, he scores a bunch. You know, we saw some good assists, rebound, and steal numbers tonight too. So I think White is just someone to keep your eye on. His percentages are probably not going to be great. In particular, his field goal percentage is not going to be great. But he could get hot. He could be a good source of points, threes, assists. You know, if that's something you need and you want to stream it for a game or two, somebody that you could potentially make use of. Obviously, Chris Dunn is still out. So when Dunn comes back, that may cut into his minutes. But just some potential if you need someone to start for a couple of games. Also, at this point of the season, it's time to start considering playoff schedules for players. If you're in a Yahoo standard league, Warriors have a great playoff schedule. Bulls have a very poor playoff schedule. So that's something to start looking at now as you make pickups. Something to consider as a tiebreaker or even a reason to add someone that may be as good as someone on your team is if they've got more games. It'll make a big difference because three games versus four is huge when you're dealing with the fantasy playoffs. All right. Before we get to the next game, we want to again welcome back mybookie.ag. MyBookie will allow you to bet on any football, basketball. Well, there's going to be no more football, no, but basketball, any other sports that get started, events. If you wanted to bet on the Academy Awards from this past Sunday, you could have done that. You can bet on various other things. Makes the games more fun. It makes the games more interesting. It's mybookie.ag. MYBOOKIE.AG. If you sign up with the promo code today, you will get a 50% first deposit bonus up to an amount of $1,000. So if you deposit $2,000 on your first deposit into mybookie.ag, they will give you a free $1,000 bonus on top of the $2,000 you've put in. And the bonus works for any amount up to $2,000. So if you put in $300, you'll get a 50% bonus. You'll get an extra $150. So check it out. Mybookie.ag. MYBOOKIE.AG. Use the promo code today. TODAY. Today for a 50% first deposit bonus. And use mybookie.ag for any and all sports gaming. Any kind of betting. It doesn't have to be strictly sports. It could be entertainment or pop culture. They've got a lot of options. Check it out. And then you can also view our gaming vertical, Hoopball Gaming at Hoopball Gaming. We've got great hosts. We've got a daily show for that. So check out at Hoopball Gaming as well as the Hoopball Gaming podcasts. Now, next game on the night, we had the Clippers visiting the 76ers. So this is a battle of two of the best teams in the league. And the Sixers came out on top. Tonight, the big story before the game was Al Horford going to the bench. And since Horford was part of my trade, I'll run through the Sixers here. Tobias Harris, 37 minutes, 8 of 19 from the field, 17 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, no steals, blocks, or turnovers. Joel Embiid, 28 minutes, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, 1 block, 1 turnover. Ben Simmons messed around and had a triple-double. 26 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal, no blocks, 3 turnovers. Josh Richardson back in the starting lineup tonight and playing very well. 21 points on 8 of 15 from the field, 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, no steal, 2 blocks, 1 turnover. And then Furkan Korkmaz, who was entered into the starting lineup, did not make the most of it. No points, one rebound, no assists, one steal, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 4 from the three-point line. Al Horford was moved to the bench, had a very quiet but productive evening, 3 of 4 from the field, hit a 3, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, no steals, 2 blocks, 0 turnovers. So quietly effective. Joel Embiid got into a little bit of foul trouble, which gave him a little bit extra run in the first quarter. It's unclear if the move to the bench is going to be permanent. He certainly is more productive with Joel Embiid off the floor, but if his minutes go down too much, it may be tough for him to keep his value. So let's hope he can stay around 30 minutes. If he does, he's certainly going to be a good standard league guy, especially if he spends less time on the court with Joel Embiid. Some new additions to the Sixers, not making much of an impact tonight. Glenn Robinson III, 12 minutes, 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Matthias Thybul, 16 minutes for him, 3 points, 4 rebounds. He hit a 3, 1 steal, 1 block, 0 turnover. So, I mean, you see with him how great the defensive stats are. In limited minutes, but it's going to take a little bit more than 16 minutes for him to be a fantasy league, standard fantasy league asset. Although in dynasty leagues, he's got to be a pretty attractive option. And then another new addition, Alec Burks, 14 minutes, 1 of 4 from the field, 2 points, 2 assists. So doesn't look like any of these new guys are making much of a dent. Looks like Josh Richardson is back in the starting lineup and his production is back as well. Al Horford looked pretty good off the bench, but he's got to keep his minutes up if he's going to stay productive. Anything else you see with the Sixers? David?
No, I think you covered it to your point. You're holding then on Horford. You're not using this opportunity to try to move off of him before it gets worse, correct? Since you just acquired him.
I just acquired him, and you're not going to get much for him, you know? So his numbers have not been setting the world on fire. Personally, I like the Sixers. Again, I'm focusing on the playoff schedule at this point. The Sixers have pretty good. They got 4-4-3, so they're pretty good for fantasy playoff schedule. And, I mean, if you could move him and get top 60 guy, top 70 guy, you probably would do it, but in my case, I gave up LeVert, I gave up Reggie Jackson, I gave up PJ Tucker. I figured Reggie Jackson has so many ways to go down, either just poor performances. He's historically been a low-round guy. He could be bought out and go to a contending team like the Lakers or Clippers, where his role is almost certainly going to shrink. He could get injured, which is, you know, he missed a lot of this season already with I think a broken back, so it wasn't a minor injury. And then he can just end up getting crowded in his own rotation on his own team with Svi, with Rose, with Bruce Brown once everyone gets healthy. So I thought there's a lot of ways for him to go down, so I thought it was a good time to sell. LeVert, he'll probably be pretty productive as far as counting stats go, but the percentages have historically been very poor for him. He already has reverted back to his poor percentages in the last game, which was the first game after I traded him. So, I mean, he was on a heater, and I think he had hit something like 21 free throws in a row over the course of 3 games. But historically, he's a 65% shooter, and I think this year he'd been around 40% from the field, but was just on fire for a few games. So I thought it was a good time to move him, and even though he'll be a good source of points, rebounds, three-pointers, going forward, I just think the percentages and turnovers will drag his value. And for the team I was trying to construct, I thought he might have done some harm for me.
Yeah, I definitely see your logic
and,
there.
And, Tucker, I like, you know, but whatever. He wanted Tucker, so I threw him in. And Tucker
got to get the deal done.
Yeah, I got it. Tucker will do what he's been doing. He'll be a low scoring, rebounding, steals, you know, low turnover, get a couple threes kind of a thing. All right, what do you see with the Clips?
Yeah. All right, for the Clips, Paul George had 35 minutes tonight for 11 points on 3 of 15 shooting, really struggled with the shot. Went 4 of 6 on the free throw line, adding a three-pointer. Also contributed 12 rebounds, 5 assists, two turnovers, a block, and no steals. The newest Clipper, Marcus Morris, in 35 minutes had 13 points on 5 of 12 shooting. Gave you three rebounds tonight as well as three-pointers as well as five rebounds, an assist, a block, no steals, and only one turnover. So pretty solid line from Morris tonight and on his new team. Ibiza Zubac in 20 minutes had 7 points on 3 of 3 from the field, also adding 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, no steals, and only one turnover. Kawhi Leonard in 36 minutes had 30 points on 12 of 23 shooting, also adding 3 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, and 2 turnovers. Lou Williams starting at the point guard tonight, Pat Beverly out of the lineup. He got 35 minutes for 13 points on 5 of 15 shooting, also adding 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, no blocks, and only 1 turnover. Off of the bench, Landry Shamet in 36 minutes had 19 points on 7 of 11 shooting, adding 5 three-pointers, a rebound, and nothing else. And then Montrezl Harrell off of the bench in 24 minutes had 10 points on 5 of 10 shooting, also adding 6 rebounds and assists, no steals, no blocks, and 2 turnovers. Off of the bench tonight, like I said, with Patrick Beverly being out of the lineup, Lou Williams was inserted in the starting lineup. Otherwise, he would have been rolling off the bench. That was to the benefit of Landry Shamet, who saw some extended run with 36 minutes tonight, but he's more of a three-point streamer, in my personal opinion. Montrezl Harrell, again, we know a guy who's going to give you big scoring numbers off of the bench tonight, a little bit quieter, almost a pretty even minute split there with Zubac, but Harrell has continued to be the guy who is more valuable here. Marcus Morris, solid line from tonight, but of course the days of old where he was just chucking on the Knicks and was the unquestioned alpha over there, that's long gone here. He's going to be the third fiddle behind Kawhi and PG. PG struggled with his shot a little bit tonight, so Morris had a little bit more run there, but again, nothing special. PG went 3 of 15 and Morris went 5 of 12, so neither one of them absolutely burned it up. Anything as far as the, I'm really just wondering if Patrick Beverly is going to actually stay consistently in the starting lineup, and depending on what becomes of that, who, if anyone, the Clippers will bring in the buyout market. I know you mentioned Reggie Jackson. There's been some other rumors. So what are your thoughts on the Clippers roster now and going forward?
I think Beverly is a good fit in the starting lineup as far as the fact that he plays defense. He you know, distributes the ball. I think he fits them fine as far as starting. What's interesting to me is that Morris got 35 minutes. So I think once he got traded, obviously his value has gone down in the sense that his usage is going to go down. He's going to score less. But if he gets 35 minutes a game, that's pretty good. That's probably good enough for standard league value. So probably he'll go down a few rounds from, I think, 7th round maybe to maybe closer to 10th round. So from like a low mid-round guy to probably just a low-round guy. But he remains probably a useful fantasy asset as long as he's getting 35 minutes a game. So he's not a drop if you were considering dropping him. He's not a drop just yet. Like you said, I think Shamet is more of a streamer for threes. And then as long as Beverly's out, he'll get enough minutes to be productive. But once Beverly comes back, it'll probably be much smaller lines for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. So a question for you. In a hypothetical, let's say that both Morris and, a hot waiver wire guy like Malik Beasley are sitting around. Who are you looking at adding more immediately between the two? A guy who's in a better situation or a guy who, I guess you could say, has more proven value, even though his situation now is going to be less to his usage, but...
So I would, if I like the potential for upside, so for instance, Malik Beasley, where's Malik Beasley at?
Minnesota,
right. So with Malik Beasley, I feel like, you know, he had a couple of good games before D'Angelo was back. D'Angelo came in yesterday, and I think Beasley in specific will be, his production will probably be he'll probably be capped on his upside because of the other players there. In general, it's a case by case basis, you know. So for instance, I like Morris's production, and I would be happy to take Morris over Beasley. At the same time, if I look at someone like Ish Smith, I feel like, oh, this guy's got 30 minutes a game. He's going to be a good source of assists. We're not going to get assists anywhere else off the wire. I'll take Ish Smith. You know, Rui Hachimura, I think this guy could be pretty productive. Although, again, they're maybe crowded in Washington once Thomas Bryant gets back. So I look at it player by player. I at this point would probably take a risk on upside, just because we've got a few weeks left in the season. See if somebody's in a new spot, if they can excel. Because now it's kind of like the beginning of the year again for a number of players, and you don't know what they're going to do in their new spots. You don't know how they're going to play with their teammates. You don't know what kind of opportunity is going to be there. So I would be willing to take a roll of the dice on some higher upside players, especially if I'm locked into a playoff spot already. But as I mentioned before, you know, consider the fantasy playoff schedules, consider, you know, what stats you need. And so it's always going to be, you know, rather than thinking about it in terms of upside versus kind of high floor, just think about what you need, what are the categories you need, and just try to balance those, you know, needs equally. And if you've got any questions, hit me up on Twitter, HankAaron26, you know, and that way we can evaluate specific players and specific situations and think about what makes the most sense for that specific decision.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Okay, let's go to the last game of the evening. Another you know, contender versus contender, East versus West, Boston Celtics visiting the Rockets. Rockets came out on top. We'll start with the Celtics here. Jason Tatum, poor night for him, shooting 5 of 15 from the field, 0 of 7 from the three-point line, 5 of 9 from the free throw line, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals, 4 assists, a block, and a turnover. Gordon Hayward playing very well, 8 of 14 from the field, 2 threes, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, no steals, and a block. Daniel Theis, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, no blocks, no turnovers. Kemba Walker, poor shooting, 5 of 17, hit a 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, no block, 2 turnovers, 14 points for him. And Jaylen Brown playing well as well, 7 of 12 from the field, 4 threes, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, but 5 turnovers, bad if you're a 9 category league. Off the bench, Marcus Smart, 30 minutes, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, and 3 turnovers. And Brad Wanamaker, 20 minutes, 11 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 rebound, no blocks, and a turnover. So, as far as the Celtics go, we know what we're getting. No real surprises here. Daniel Theis, decent low-end guy. If you need rebounds, blocks, and field goal percentage, he's the only one that may be on your waiver. Tatum, Hayward, Walker, and Brown are all owned, I'm sure. So, Enes Kanter, should mention him, only 8 minutes, 0 of 2 from the field. 0 points, 3 rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks, no turnovers. So, two turnovers for Kanter. Kanter kind of falling off the radar again after a brief spell of relevance for a few weeks. Anything else with the Celtics?
No, I think you nailed it.
All right, how about the Rockets?
All right, on the Houston side of the ball, PJ Tucker got 35 minutes to the power forward position for 4 points. Going 1 of 4 from the field, also adding 6 rebounds, 2 steals, no blocks, no turnovers, no assists. Daniel House in 39 minutes, 17 points on 5 of 11 shooting, adding 3 three-pointers, also contributing 9 rebounds and assists, no defensive stats in the turnover. Robert Covington, the newest Rocket, started at center tonight and got 37 minutes for 12 points on 3 of 11 shooting. He also contributed 2 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 4 blocks, and 2 turnovers. So a really strong Roko line tonight. You're definitely going to take that any day of the week. And this was the upside that we knew Covington would bring coming to the Rockets. I mean, looking really, really strong. James Harden getting it back on track. 38 minutes tonight for 42 points on 9 of 19 shooting, adding 7 three-pointers and going 17 of 18 from the free throw line. He also added 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, a block, and 6 turnovers. And then Russell Westbrook in 36 minutes had 36 points on 13 of 23 shooting. Went 10 of 13 from the free throw line and also added 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, and 4 turnovers. Off of the bench, Ben McLemore in 18 minutes had 3 points on 1 of 4 shooting, also adding 2 rebounds and nothing else. Austin Rivers in 19 minutes had 2 points on 1 of 5 shooting. He also added 2 rebounds and nothing else. So as far as the Rockets go, they are running with what looks to be a pretty tight 7 at best. Maybe you could even say a tight 6 when Michael Moore falls out of the lineup or when Eric Gordon's back in there. He's, I'm assuming, going to be seeding one of those two guys as far as one of the first guys off of the bench. But like I said, Rivers, McLemore, and Eric Gordon really going to be the only guys you want to possibly roll with off of the bench. If and that's truthfully going to be if perhaps James Harden or Russell Westbrook is going to be out of the lineup for the night. Eric Gordon was out of the lineup tonight, so Rivers and McLemore got more run. Westbrook's looking strong. Harden is looking to get it back on track. He had been really struggling mightily with his shot tonight, 9 of 19. Pretty solid, so you'll take that any day of the week. 42 points also doesn't hurt. As I said before, Robert Covington looking really strong, looking like a seamless fit on this Houston Rockets small ball offense, defensive versatility till the to the end of the world. You know what Rocco does. I'm so glad to see him out of Minnesota and on a team that's an actual title contender, because I think that he really, really brings it every single night, and I'm really, really looking forward to what he's going to be doing going forward. As long as he's in the lineup, I think he's going to probably be early round value going forward. Like you said, PJ Tucker is a guy who's going to contribute very quietly. He's going to do what he does and not do a whole lot else. And then Daniel House is a guy who has managed to maintain relevancy. There was a lot of question. There was a lot of discussion about how his fantasy relevance was pretty much just all but kaput with the addition of Robert Covington. But it looks like House is going to stay in the starting lineup, and he's been looking pretty solid. What are your thoughts, Hank, about Daniel House's production going forward, or just the rest of the Rockets in general?
Like you said, I think he's been surprisingly good. I think he's a good source of threes, points, get some rebounds. And as long as he's getting 40 minutes, he's going to be productive in that offense. So I think just ride him until the production stops, and at that point you can make a move.
Yeah.
All right. That'll wrap it up for the games for this week. What else are you working on, David, on Hoopball? Where can they find you?
Yeah, find me on Twitter, DFB_3, as always. And in the Hoopball universe, catch me on Thursday nights with my main Chris. It's going to be a pretty short card for us on Thursday. I think we actually only have 2 games, but tune in anyways. We'll have plenty to discuss. Definitely hit me up on Twitter, too. Maybe we'll, you know, answer a couple questions if I get some. So, like I said, DFB_3. I'll talk to you guys soon. What about you, Hank? What do you got going on this week?
This is it for me this week. I'm available on Twitter, HankAaron26, HankAaron26. I'm also on the Hoopball forums. So if you post your questions, I try to chime in there when I can. So trade questions, pickup questions, matchup questions, whatever you got. I'm not there all the time, but if you're in the Hoopball forums, I do try to chime in and give my advice. So you can find me in the Hoopball forums. You can find me on Twitter. Otherwise, you'll find me here next week. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us this week. It's been a pleasure, David. It's been a lot of fun joining all you Hoopballers. We will see you all next week. Have a good night.
Thanks.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.